Ok, parfait.
Faut mettre en...
This is Rock and Roll Radio. Stay tuned for more rock and roll.
Well, I'm gonna write a little letter. I'm gonna mail it to my local DJ. Yeah, it's a jumping little record. I want my jockey to play. Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today. You know my temperature rising, the jukebox blowing a fuse. My heart beating rhythm and my soul keep a singing the blues. I roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. I got the rocking pneumonia, I need a shot of rhythm and blues. I caught the rolling off the writer sitting down at a rhythm review. I roll over Beethoven, they're rocking in two by two. Well, if you feel it and like it, go get your lover, then reel and rock it. Roll it over, then move on up, just a trifle further, then reel and rock with. Run another, roll over Beethoven, dig these rhythm and blues. Nothing to lose. Roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. You know she wiggle like a glowworm, dance like a spinning top. She got a crazy partner, you ought to see him reel and rock. Long as she got a dime, the music won't never stop. I roll over Beethoven, I roll over Beethoven.
Welcome to another podcast, everyone. It's Omelet Radio, and my guest today, my buddy that's just hanging out here, you know, not so much of an interview guest, he's just going to be part of the show, is Dave Vervain. Dave Vervain is back.
Hello, everyone.
Awesome to have you back, man. Yeah. You know, in that intro, playing Chuck Berry just brings back a thousand memories for me. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to start off the show because obviously we played a little Chuck Berry, so we're going to talk about him. And, you know, Chuck Berry, if anybody doesn't know by now, he died over the weekend at 90 years old. Nothing to be terribly sad about. 90 years old, living the rock and roll dream is, you know, an awesome life, man. But it just makes me sad because I know, and I hate to do this, I've already got a conflict. It's not going to be as big of a deal as Prince was or David Bowie, and it blows my mind.
Yeah, it should be.
I know, and it, like, for me, it's the biggest death. Glenn Frey is up there, but Glenn Frey isn't even as big. I mean, I think that Chuck Berry was the original pioneer of rock and roll. Absolutely. That was the first rock and roll riff that you ever heard. I mean, they always say Elvis was the king of rock and roll.
Yeah, I say it was Chuck Berry.
But I say it's Chuck Berry just because I don't hear, I hear more in rock and roll from Chuck Berry's
Elvis was a great singer, but Chuck Berry was like the original first rock and roll guitar player.
And I don't know why it has to be a contest with me, like who's going to get more press, but I always get it like, you know, Prince, I was upset to know. Listen, I don't want anybody to die. I don't want anybody to suffer. But in case they do, I don't want it to be my favorites.
Yeah, it's like the whole world stopped when Prince died, and Chuck Berry just got kind of a little blurb where they said, oh, they found him unresponsive in his house.
People are crying. And you know what? It was because he died unexpectedly. He died at a much younger age, and that is more tragic. Yeah. But I just want to celebrate the life of Chuck Berry. I have to tell a quick story, and I'll get to my sponsors. Thank you, World Truck and Auto Body. World Truck and Auto Body, and then I'll tell you the story how I... And it's a good story. It's a good story. Young kid in a gas station. World Truck and Auto Body, everyone, located right behind Classic Motorsports between the Chum's Corners and the mall. Auto body and collision repair for any size vehicle. And I do mean any size. 18-wheelers, I've seen them in the bays. Little cars, Fiats, Spider, whatever, small car, Ford Focus. All the way from the biggest vehicle to the smallest vehicle, they do it all. And they do an incredible job. That's why they've been around for so long. 26 years. Go see local owners, local people, man. Mom and pop. It's Jeff and Bob over there, 26 years in the business. It must be 27 this year. Mm-hmm. And sandblasting specialists, if you have anything metal that needs to be rejuvenated and painted, don't think it's a scrap piece of metal. That thing could be revived. And they're sandblasting specialists. They do it all right there on the premises. Custom door work for garage doors and entryways to custom homes. Free estimates, no obligation. World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City. Behind Classic Motorsports between the Chum's Corners and the mall. You can call them at 231-943-9945. 231-943-9945. Call or stop by World Truck and Auto Body. Also, if you shop online, just go to Amazon.com through my website. In fact, I want you to bookmark Amazon through my website. Like, go to omeletradio.com, and then you see the Amazon banner on the right. And then once you click through to get to Amazon, then bookmark it at that point so you don't have to keep doing that for every purchase to help the podcast, because we get a little kickback on the dollar amount that you spend. It's not too much, but it really adds up, and every month we get a nice little check. And thank you for doing that. People have been clicking through. Please bookmark it so you never have to think about it again. Say, oh, I forgot to do it, Omelet. I heard people say that. St. Patrick's Day, I got to tell you some stories. I went down to the pub crawl. Yes. We shot a video for Copper Stars song, Shamrocks.
On Facebook, yeah.
Oh my God, we had such a blast. And I can't wait to post. This week I will get to the video. I will edit it all down. And the people are gonna be we thought of an idea, like we gotta make a viral video. We or at least try to make one. Right. And usually when you try to make one, it doesn't happen. So we just want everybody to share it once you see the Shamrock video, if you like it.
Well, I was gonna come down there, but you did it at like 2 p.m, didn't you?
Yeah, so I
couldn't get away from work.
While the pub crawl was going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the pub crawl, man. I gotta tell you about that. But let me tell you a story about Chuck Berry. There was a cassette thing, and the overnight gas station, one of the first 24-hour mini marts that there were, I don't know, in the country, in the Boston area. I got a job at this Texaco, and it had a little store, and it had the gas pumps, and it was this brand new state of the art gas station. Anyway, they had a cooler. It was like five doors. It was a skinny little store. If a store was a single wide, this would be a single wide. So it was narrow and long, and I worked overnight gas station on weekends after I'd do high school. You know, I was 16, 17 years old, and I would work Friday night and Saturday night overnight. And I had my boombox out there. We were playing hacky sack. You know, the lights were on. We were legally staying awake. I was getting paid for being up at 4 a.m, yeah. Which, you know, friends would stop by. We'd hang out, hanging out at the gas station. Anyway, one of my duties was to, I just said duty, was to mop the floor at some point in the night. And usually I waited till like 4 a.m. so it could dry. I opened up both doors and, you know, people stopped hanging out around 4 o'clock, and then the boss came in like at 6 a.m. And so I forgot my cassettes, and we had a little rack on the counter of cassettes, and it was, you know, like Kansas or, you know, some music I was familiar with. And then there was a Chuck Berry Greatest Hits cassette. And I was just like, well, I'm going to unwrap one of these. What should I do? And I'm like, Chuck Berry, you know what? I always hear on interviews how, like, Ted Nugent's influenced by Chuck Berry, how Tom Petty is, you know, all these artists, Jimmy Page, all these artists that I love were influenced by Chuck Berry. And I'm like, let me listen to some Chuck Berry. I know he's got Johnny Be Good, but I didn't know a lot of the other songs. So I started listening to this, and just, like, every song, like, I sort of knew Roll Over Beethoven, rock and roll music, Brown Eyed Handsome Man, all these songs.
I think Maybelline was actually his biggest hit. That was his excellent. Biggest hit.
No Particular Place to Go.
Oh, yeah.
George Thorogood covered that one. Yep. Yeah. And And I was like, man, this guy is the original George Thorogood. This guy's the original Ted Nugent. This guy's the original Tom Petty, original Jimmy Page. So I understand. Like, I was like, wow. And then when you think of him, he was influenced by Muddy Waters and the blues of the 40s and the black, you know, Robert Johnson and stuff. But, you know, he was the first one to take the electric guitar from Les Paul, who made it electric. And made that sound, man. And that Ted Nugent, you know, I just watched a video of Ted Nugent, you know, giving paying homage to Chuck Berry. He's sitting down in his living room, and he has his guitar, and he did Johnny B. Goode in his living room. I guess that was yesterday Ted did that. Check it out, and so that's it. Chuck Berry, you know, It was so wild. When I was mopping the floor that night in that gas station, I was like, I just found the original rock and roll guy. Like,
did you take the mop and start dancing like this?
Oh, of course. Of course. I was doing the duck hop across the... Oh, I used to swing from there was a fire extinguisher system above the gas pumps, and I used to swing off those things, to Van Halen. Oh, man. So that's it. I'm just sad, but at the same time, thankful for Chuck Berry. But it was just, I can't emphasize enough how much it all came to me that one night that I was listening. And I was like, this stuff is awesome. Yeah. Like, it's so simple. It's so simplistic. But it was the original. He's the guy that went, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. I don't know how to do it. But anyway, Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man.
You were talking about, you know, we've been texting back and forth and stuff, and you've been talking about, hey, I'd love to get back on the podcast. I love radio, you know, I've always, and you listen to a bunch. We like the same things. Like, we've been listening to a lot of Howard.
Yes, indeed.
We listen to podcasts.
Yeah. I owe a lot of my livelihood over the years to radios. It's kind of funny. When I was a kid, I would take any toy or any piece of electronics I could get my hands on, and I would tear it open, figure out how it works, and then put it back together again.
And that's what you're doing at TC Supertext.
That's what I've done, you know, for the last 35 years. But I was particularly fascinated with the old transistor radio. Remember those little?
Of course, man.
And I'd crack it open, and I'd go in there, and I'd tweak all the coils and stuff just to see what it would do and stuff.
Wow. You did that?
And then I'd put it back together. And then, oddly enough, my first job...
Did you ruin him?
I did actually a couple of them. I couldn't get them back in
tune. They're so simple inside, aren't they? It's just a very simple board.
Circuit. Yeah, yeah.
And then it's a simple speaker.
It consists of an RF amplifier, a local oscillator, and a mixer, and a demodulator.
You lost me.
Basic circuits. But anyways, I got my first job.
Speaking of that, just real quick, that there's a YouTube that you could how to make a radio out of like nothing, like a paper clip
out of
a
coconut, like on Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. Well, something like that. But you know, it's a paper clip, a wire, and like you could pick up frequencies. You know, you have a battery or some kind of power source, but you can really make a receiving, because the airwaves, I mean, the radio waves are in the air. You just got to pick them up. They're everywhere. You just got to receive them. That's why they call it a receiver.
Right. So anyways, you know, I got my first job in electronics repairing radios, car radios.
Wow.
And that's when I first got into morning radio. And that was in 1987-ish.
Yeah.
And I used to listen.
87?
Yeah. I lived in Detroit at the time. I used to listen to JJ and the Morning Crew with Dick the Bruiser. I don't know if you've ever heard of that show.
No, but did you listen to Drew and Mike on the riff? Once you got a little older?
JJ, was on WLLZ, I believe, if I remember right.
LLZ? What format was that? Top 40?
Classic rock.
Oh, it was? Yeah. Nice.
And then, later on, I would listen to Drew and Mike. And then when I moved to West Michigan, they used to have a show called Rick and Darla J, if I remember right. They were kind of a morning zoo kind of show.
Rick and Darla J.
Yeah. And then when I lived in Florida, I listened to Lex and Terry.
They're out of Jacksonville, right? Yep. I like them.
And then when I lived in West Michigan, I used to listen to Free Beer and Hot Wings.
That's when I picked up a bit that was influenced by Lex and Terry. When we had Drunk Person in the Corner, they used to have... They called it Drunk Bitch Friday.
Yep.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to say drunk bitch. Yeah. But we had Drunk Girl in the Corner, Drunk Handicap in the Corner, all these different variations. So, So then you listen to Free Beer and Hot Wings.
Well, that's
so
when I lived
really
in West Michigan.
To a lot yeah. of different ones.
They had a sports radio station that started up in Grand Rapids when I lived there called WBBL. And originally it was a nationally syndicated show of sports talk radio with a bunch of different shows.
Sure.
And there was one on in the afternoon. It was called Dave Grisar, and he did a trivia question every day.
Wow.
And I got banned from playing because I won too many times.
No kidding. And he'd do trivia about sports?
Yeah, sports trivia.
So you know sports.
Yeah, pretty good knowledge of sports.
I know that when people listen to this, it's going to be Monday and these games are already done. We are here on Sunday, right around midday, and we're getting ready. Michigan is going to be playing, I believe, Louisville. Okay. And then Michigan State later today is going to play Kansas, I believe. And both of them are... There's like Louisville's number one or two, and Kansas is number one, a number one right. seed against, I think, Michigan and Michigan State are 7-8. So they should be, you know, eliminated. But right. I think Michigan State, you know, they've yeah. always
they always find a way to make it to the Final
find
Four.
Find a way to yeah. make the Final Four, or yeah. at least the Sweet 16, yeah. which would be next week. But that's yeah. all. I've got that on my brain.
Right.
So you were listening to sports. You were listening to these different morning shows. Which one was your not favorite, but what was the one that was...
probably the Omelette and French?
Oh, you're so nice.
I did listen to Bubba the Love Sponge for a while too when I lived.
Love Bubba the yeah, Love Sponge.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
See, I mean, I always say on the podcast and elsewhere that I'm a fan first. I'm a yep. fan of this medium, and it started yep. to me when I was young. People are influenced when they're young. I was listening to AM radio under yeah. my yeah. pillow at night because I was so full of energy as a kid. I yeah. don't know if it was, you know, I used to drink. Nobody knew. You know, I was not only hyperactive, yeah. Probably ADD and all these things. Plus, I'm like loading myself with sugar and Mountain right. Dew and caffeine just endlessly. So I hated going to bed because that right. means mellow time. No mellow time.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to calm down and go yeah. to sleep. I'm up all, like, I don't need sleep.
Sleep when you're dead.
Yeah. And so... after being forced to go to bed, I would listen to the radio. I'm like, I need some sort of
stimulation
or something entertaining, while like the light you could see on from the TV. So I started listening to these talk shows at night and overnight, and the guy had just a little bit of personality. It was mostly really dry.
Yeah.
You know, dry AM radio, yeah. but the guy had a little,
classic announcer voice radio.
Yeah, sort of, but he had a couple of things, like when people, this guy named Larry Glick, and he was on WBZ in Boston, and he used to hear from, at night, their signal carried halfway across the country, so people, and now, I could get in my car at 4 a.m. and get WBZ here, it's 10:30 a.m.
really?
In the middle of the night, the signal travels all across the country because of... There's frequencies not nearby. They're 50,000 watts, and at an AM stations that travels. I don't really understand it. And then in the day, you can't pick it up, but nighttime signal you can.
The AM transmission actually travels along the ground. That's why sometimes you can get it. It'll bounce off the ionosphere. You can get stations that are far away.
Yeah.
Where the FM transmission...
FM is line of sight.
It's like an umbrella from the transmitter. You know, once you're outside that umbrella, then
right.
you don't get the station.
Right. FM is line of sight. That's why the towers go way up right. in the sky, and it's usually on top of a mountain or something. So I'm listening to Larry Glick, and he had a little bit of personality. People called in from all over the country, and I thought that was fascinating. Right. Virginia, like, everybody's listening to the same. Now it's, you know,
yeah,
people have the internet, and yeah. it's like, yeah, I could listen to 50,000 radio stations from my desk here, which is, again, amazing and mind-blowing when you think of all the things you could be listening to, you know, at the touch of your finger. And now the new radio is?
Your phone.
Your phone, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yep. That's why people. That's how most people are listening to this right yeah. now, which we so much appreciate. Thank you.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
So people called in and said, "Larry, how are you?" And he used to go, "Hold on, let me check." He goes, "I'm doing fine. How are you?"
Yeah.
So he did that little whistle thing, yeah. and it was annoying to, like, I realized how many people are saying, "How are you? How are you doing?"
Right.
Like. He just said it to somebody 30 seconds ago when the previous caller. But it's just a you know, people don't think about what they're right. saying. They're saying hello, but
right.
people say, how are you?
Yep.
Hold on, let me check. And he does that so often that it's like, well, all right, people.
Every single but caller
I think,
coming in.
I think that people started doing it because he would he would do his classic, hold on, let me check. He goes, doing fine. So that was the extent of the personality involved. And then I started, you know, listening to, watching David Letterman, which I thought was a little twisted. You know, it's like Johnny Carson was like mild.
Right.
You know, he was like kind of serious, but, you know, there was some comedy there, Letterman but not enough for me. When I saw David Letterman, I was like, this guy's hair is kind of messed up. He's wearing sneakers with his suits, and he's like having these weirdos on his show, like celebrating the Larry Bud Melman and the guy underneath the stairs, and Paul Schaefer was, you know, had looked stoned to me, you know.
I just was reading an article on Letterman recently, and I guess he was real difficult to work with from all the people that worked with him. You know, he had these phobias. He thought he had something with his heart that it was a condition that didn't even exist, and he was always paranoid that he was dying and stuff.
Sure.
And,
listen, man, if you were trying to do a good job, sometimes you run into a lot of people that are just trying to collect a paycheck or putting their time in when you are like at your life's passion. Yeah. And sometimes that comes off wrong with the wrong people.
Right.
I've been guilty of it myself. You know, if somebody's just mailing it in, we usually are not going to get along.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm so great, but I'm willing, you know, hey, let's meet at the station at 3:30 tomorrow morning. You know, we're only required to get on the air at 6:00.
Right.
But I'm like, we got to, you know, I'm there all night. I'm doing my parody song. I've got to get this done. I'm going in on Sundays. I'm making promotions. I'm out all night long. I got an hour of sleep. Right. You don't need to do that, but I'm just trying
to. Because I want you to care about what you're doing.
I'm raising the bar. I'm trying to create something out of nothing.
Instead of doing just the cookie cutter, here's the news, here's the weather.
I can't do that. Right. I wouldn't feel good about it. I just couldn't. It's not in my DNA. I just can't do it.
That's what makes your show unique, I think.
Well, thanks, man. You know what? And when you start to emulate others, you do find your own voice eventually, you know, like, but there's the influences there, man.
Yeah.
There's the, you know, the Chuck, it could be musical influences, even though I do a talk show, you know, it's the Pioneers, it's the Chuck Berry, it's the David Letterman, it's the, you know, Morton Downey, remember Morton Downey
Morton
Jr.?
Morton Downey Jr., yeah.
I love that guy. He's smoking on TV.
Yeah.
I was like,
I don't see
what?
That anymore.
And then he's yelling at people. I loved it.
Yeah.
So you wanted to, how come you never took that leap into getting involved in radio?
I don't,
because you're making a lot of money as an engineer.
Yeah. Well, actually in my 20s, I see when I was probably 22 years old, I was making $45,000 a year repairing car radios, which is pretty good money for.
Wow. Yeah. That's great money, man.
Because not only was I doing it on my regular job, I had a bench set up in my house and doing kind of the same thing I do now. I was repairing radios for used car dealerships and other types of electronics shops and stuff like that. So I was working night and day and just making money hand over fist.
And you were working for somebody else or you were?
Yeah, I worked for a company called GHI Automotive in Grand Rapids, which was a authorized Ford and GM warranty service center.
No kidding.
So you kept the rotating stock of all brand new current radios. And when someone's brand
like
new car,
Alpines,
one of
these, at the, time,
the original factory radios. Remember those rectangular Delco radios?
Oh, yeah.
I probably repaired about maybe 20,000 of those over the course of 10 years.
You know what I can't wait to get? I don't think I'm going to get a new vehicle anytime soon. So I think that I'm going to, you know, hopefully upgrade my radio system. Now they've got the Bluetooth touchscreen. You know, it's like a 4-inch by 4-inch, face plate that is, you know, could be digital TV.
Yep.
You know, like you could anything on it. It's a, you know, you could watch your pictures or a home video through it, through your phone.
Yep.
And you could, you know, the podcasting through. People are probably listening to us on that in their car now.
Yep.
But for me, I haven't gotten there yet. I still have the cassette in my radio with with the cord hanging out and I plug it into my phone. It's really ghetto.
Is the audio good, though? Do you have the heads
perfect.
Lined up good on the inside?
It's perfect. Yeah. But every once in a while, if it's too cold, the cassette will pop out. I've got a radio that is, you know, don't think I'm that out of it. I have, it's a stock 2004 Silverado, Ford or Chevy radio that has a CD player and a cassette. When I saw the cassette, I was like, this is a little weird having a cassette, but I'm thankful because... They have another way that you could do your phone through your radio, and that's like to go on a frequency that's not being
used. Oh, FM modulator, yeah.
Yeah, and it communicates with that, but I find that's a little staticky.
Yeah, they don't. I think there's limits on their power by the FCC, so it's always kind of weak, and that's why you get the static, because you don't get good reception.
Yeah.
And it's a passive contact versus a direct contact.
But I love all that stuff, man. I love gadgets. I've got a bunch here in the studio. You know, I even have a cassette player because I convert my old cassettes from radio shows. I don't know what I'm going to have. You know what? I'm going to tell you my idea is to have a 24-hour radio station on the internet through my website, and I can play all of my years in consecutive order if I have them.
Right.
Sometimes I'm missing a week or missing a day randomly because I, whatever reason, I don't have the cassette or I don't have every single show. But in consecutive order, I'd like to, and take out the news and the weather and stuff.
Just the bits and stuff.
The content and bits and topics and phone calls. Yeah. And just have that on a continuous loop. And I think I figured it out that it would almost be running a year loop from 25 years of radio.
24/7.
The stuff that I have, it can almost go a year and you would not repeat anything.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Have an archive of my work.
Right.
Over the years, and you could hear how I don't know if anybody would listen to that even like, even for 5 minutes, but I want to sort of like
just put it out there.
We have the capabilities of saving that stuff and putting it out there, and I think that I'd be foolish not to just to have a living proof of my legacy. I don't know what you'd call it.
Kind of like the Sternthology on Sirius.
Sure.
Which is cool. I mean, they play a show from, 1994 or something, and you long forgot about it, but you hear it again, and it's like, oh, yeah, that was great, listening to it again.
Yep. And, some of the stuff that I listen back to is almost unlistenable.
Yeah. See, they were just good back then.
Yeah, I've come a long way. Like, since I was 21 and I was on the radio, but I was like a sidekick,
Right.
And especially when I was like 25, I was just like, I was a, what do they call that? A one trick pony.
Okay.
I was just, said party things or just like
just a wild man.
Womanizing or it either had to do with party or womanizing.
Nice.
And that's what I would do. Uh-huh. Like I didn't talk about anything else. And I didn't feel that was in my, I didn't want to talk about issues, topics, relationships, nothing. Just, hot chicks and get a buzz.
Yeah. Well, when you're a young guy, that's pretty much all you think about, right?
So I kind of get so like, I'm like, Jesus, can't you be a little more have another dimension to you? Talk about food, talk about something. But anyway, we got a couple of nice coffees here. I went to the pub crawl downtown Traverse City. We have the pub crawl, and Copper Star wrote the song. Copper Star wrote a song called She Has Big Shamrocks, and we went down there and shot a video for it. I looked at some of the raw footage, and it's really funny footage.
Is he the one that did that Comerica Park song, too? Is that him?
Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
All of his songs are dirty, and they're one take. Yeah. He does them one take, and that's it.
He doesn't even say Comerica Park,
No, he starts saying various versions of that. Yeah. Comeric Park. Yeah, and they're all about drinking, smoking weed, doobies, and getting arrested.
Yeah.
All of them. But it's funny because when you meet him, you're like, this is the guy, he's close to 60 years old.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But he lives by himself. He lives the life of a 20-year-old,
right.
He's just, he's watching sports, partying. He has a happy hour at his house every day.
Oh wow.
Every day. You could go to Copper Star Bar and have a drink at his bar. He's got a bar right in his kitchen.
Right.
And, but he's kind of living in reverse, like that dude from Mork and Mindy. He used to be married in his 20s and 30s. He used to be married and he had raised kids.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's older. He's divorced. And now he's living semi-retired.
Yeah.
He's a painter.
Okay.
And so he just lives the life that he was should have lived in his 20s.
Making up for lost time.
Now he's back and he's like 60 years old. Yeah. So he goes down there and he's writing these crazy songs. And we're you know, performing the song as much as possible. We had a Bluetooth speaker playing the song, and he was lip syncing to it. We got a Shamrock Girl. The only thing that's bad is that there was low lighting in the place. So I hope in the post-production of these video clips that I have for the video, and the song's only a minute and a half long. Mm-hmm. So I should be able to come up with a minute and a half of footage.
You gonna put that on Facebook?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll put it on YouTube and Facebook. Hopefully by the time people listen to this podcast, you'll be able to see it. Nice. But I didn't look through all the footage that I have. Mm-hmm. I probably have like an hour of footage for a minute and a half song. Should be able to do it. But anyway, just for a little side project or, you know, not really trying to get a viral video going on. Yeah. But, you know, a couple of older dudes trying to have some fun with a wacky song. You know, and I love doing little projects like that. If somebody said, look, let's go record at, I don't know. I was going to actually record the podcast. The places were way too packed. Way too freaking packed. Yeah. Fire code, way over. As I say, nuts to butts. Right. From the one end of the place to the other. I mean, you couldn't fit another.
Was everybody there to see you guys?
No. This is tradition every year.
Oh, it's like St. Patrick's Day.
But Bubba's was packed at the same time the UNI was packed. Right. And they rotate. Like, you're supposed to go. It starts at Minerva's noon to 2. And then it goes to Bubba's 2 to 3. We were trying to get ahead of the pack. Right. But it was still nuts to butts, even at Union Street when everybody's still at Bubba's. Yeah. And then everybody goes to UNI, and then they go to Union Street, then they go to Dillinger's, then they go to Bootlegger, then they end up at Brady's like at 7, 8 o'clock at night. I'm not...
I'd be out by then.
I was home by 4 p.m. Yeah. But, you know, I'm more of a day tripper, day drinker, day partier. But I didn't party too much. We're doing the video.
Right.
But, man, I can't believe they allowed that many people in there. And, you know, this is going on at 2 in the afternoon.
Right.
Packed bars on a Friday. Right. And the tournament is going on, you know, the men's basketball tournament, March Madness. And the Tigers are on. So this is like, and it's St. Patrick's Day, and everybody's drinking downtown. I love the spirit of things like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in this town. I mean, sometimes I'll go to Meijer, and I got to work early. I'm at Meijer at noon on a Thursday, and the place is packed.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't any of these people have jobs? What's going on?
I get to see a lot of that, even though that I'm not currently working, but I, you know, the lifestyle of doing mornings, you get out at noon and you see all these people. I'm like, what are people doing at a Kmart at 1:30 in the afternoon? So, Dave, what else do you want to talk about, man? Do you want to...
Well, one thing I want to talk about is, did you see the video with Snoop Dogg pointing the gun at Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if Kid Rock would have made that same video and pointed a gun at Obama and shot it, what do you think would have happened?
Absolutely. You know, not including a political bias, but I just think it's a bad call anytime you do that.
Yeah. Well,
when I was growing up,
I was told that if you even mentioned harming the president, the Secret Service is going to show up at your front door. You know? And now you got Madonna threatening to blow up the White House, Snoop Dogg threatening to assassinate him, and they got nothing. You know,
it's a bad idea. Did Madonna get a visit from?
I don't know if she did or not, but she should have got some kind of a penalty for it. You know, other than the embarrassment that she was.
I mean, I was visited by National Security.
That's right. I remember that
for my hospital bit.
Yeah,
sent an intern to a hospital with a white lab coat and a paperclip.
I can't do that.
Trying to get into the unauthorized areas. Right. Because he already got in the supermarket and the big box store, and it was a bad idea. Right. But I didn't know that that was one of the, what they call a soft target for terrorism.
Oh, really?
You know, the terrorism was heightened at the time.
Sure.
But, you know, a wacky DJ on a rock station named Omelet, we're going to send the feds in to investigate this guy? Come on.
Yeah, somebody jumped off the deep end.
All I had to be told was, that's not cool. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do it again.
And that's all I needed to hear. So I don't want to get people upset. But sometimes I get so caught up in the bit and the entertainment that I don't think about the ramifications. Yeah, but that's what you're supposed to do as a responsible person. But I let the creative get the best of me sometimes. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, it makes you think, like, I try not. I'm like, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and if it's, you know, it's just in poor taste. You know, Snoop Dogg. I like Snoop Dogg. I like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a huge fan, but.
But I don't like him doing that.
No.
You know, I don't like it. I mean, I wouldn't like it just as much if somebody did it for Obama. Right. You know, I'm not.
It just seems like there's a double standard.
But people didn't do that.
Right. Yeah, they wouldn't dare.
You know what? I'm getting to be up to my limit with Saturday Night Live. They're just. I mean, listen, Trump says crazy things, and he is a wacky character. That's part of the reason why I like him.
That's why you got elected.
That's right. And but at the same time, you gotta target some other people. You know, they didn't make fun of Obama whatsoever during his presidency.
Not a single skit that I can remember.
But, you know, there's definitely things they could have made fun of. I mean, if they're going to do political, like, do something else that's funny. I mean, listen, I love Alec Baldwin doing the Trump.
He does it pretty good.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's like, all right, do something else.
Did you see the Melissa McCarthy doing Sean Spicer?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
That was awesome. You know, Sean Spicer has the super soaker in one of the episodes, and one of the things, she had a super soaker.
Yeah, and she like bum rushed him with the podium.
Yeah. And he recently said that he was talking to he was getting a little irritated with the press.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't make me move this podium.
Yeah.
He's making fun of it. But in his office, he has the super soaker that they used on Saturday, or the exact same model.
Nice. Yeah, that was a pretty good bit.
Yeah, that's a great bit. But I'm just saying that there's other, like, that seems like their only focus is Obama, Donald Trump presidency.
And then, like, the news section.
Like, you need to be a little more, like, let's spread the comedy around. Right. Not like you need to make fun of Democrats, but just other things are funny.
Right. Well, the Weekend Update now is nothing but just continuous Trump bashing. They don't talk about anything else, you know?
Nothing else.
It's horrible. And that used to be the best part of the show, you know?
Right.
When Tina Fey used to do it. Yep. And Dan Aykroyd.
Yep. And Dennis.
Dennis Miller. Not Dennis. Dennis Miller did it for a while, too. So did Norm MacDonald was pretty good. On
excellent
that,
at it. Yep.
And they talked about all different kinds of
things. And, you know, way back in the day, it was Jane Curtin and Rosanna Dana and Father Guido Sarducci. I mean, that's a little before my time, but I saw the reruns, you know. Well, listen, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
Let's take a break. Let's play a little Chuck Berry for the people.
Sounds good.
And we'll get some coffee.
All right.
And maybe we'll even make a Bloody Mary, and we're just hanging with the people, man, having a nice conversation. Dave Vervain is my guest. Rick Coates.
Yep, supposed to be here.
He canceled out at the last minute.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, listen, he said family emergency,
right.
So
right.
I hope everything's okay with his family and all that. But he has canceled on me quite a few times.
Yeah. And are they always family emergencies?
No, no. I mean, definitely, no. I'm not saying he's making stuff up. But I'm saying, Rick, I'm calling you. You always cancel.
Yeah, nice.
No, but he's been rock solid when we were doing the radio show. Always, always.
Yeah.
But got to give him, come on, man. I got to make fun of Rick Coates a little bit. Why not? He's not exempt. All right. Yeah. We'll be right back here on Omelet Radio.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. I have no kick against modern jazz. Unless they try to play it too darn fast. And change the beauty of the melody. Until it sounds just like a symphony. That's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. I took my loved one over across the tracks. So she could hear my man a wailing sax. I must admit they have a rockin' band. Man, they were blowing like a hurricane. That's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. Way down south they gave a jubilee. Folks, they had a jamboree.
drinking home from a wooden cup. The folks dancing got all shook up and started playing that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it, it's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it, it's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me, if you wanna dance with me, don't care to hear them play a tango. I'm in the mood to dig a mambo. It's way too early for the Congo. So keep a rocking that piano, so I can hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it, it's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it, it's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me, if you wanna dance with me.
All right, by the wonderful powers of podcasting, we're back.
We're live.
We've got Bloody Marys. Decided to go for Bloody Marys instead of more coffee. We have the Irish coffee going, you know, here on the weekends in the morning at my house. Of course, Dave Vervain is my guest, and we wanted to talk about a couple of things. Number one, your least favorite radio show.
The general void in morning radio that exists right now. There's really nothing to listen to, in my opinion, but...
But there's other, you know, like, because the new radio is the phone, and I don't want to distract you too much because we're going to go into something, but you can listen to radio stations all over the country, over the world. Right. So, you know, if you don't have anything locally, you could always...
Pretty much every FM station in the country is streaming. So, yeah, you can listen
to it. But you want to support the local...
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that was one of my things where I felt that we did... You know, we did a good job is because we were local and people liked that as opposed to, you know,
nationally syndicated,
syndicated shows.
Completely detached from the people.
Which, you know, shows like Free Beer and Hot Wings, and they're like kind of regional. I don't even know.
They're out of Grand Rapids, I believe.
Grand Rapids, yep. They tried to come up here, but because we're local and we are all about the people... we were able to, they didn't get any traction here. And they tried to do promotions up here. They were in the cherry. I know those guys from morning show boot camps.
Okay.
And I've always, you know, I've always known who they were, and they were in the same room. We're at the same conventions. I knew Free Beer and Hot Wings. They used to be in New Jersey a long time ago. And, but they're from Michigan. But anyway, you kill those shows. And I'm not saying... We could be more successful in Little Traverse City, but they are like in Nashville. They're all over the place. So, I mean, ultimately, they're more successful. Right. But not in my town, honey.
Right on.
Not in my town. Yeah. You're not going to gain any traction here. So we're able to beat people like that and Bob and Tom, which I'm very proud of. Yeah. But, you know, it's not like a big accomplishment. I mean, it is because they were way up high when I arrived here.
Right.
And then we...
Squash them.
Well, yeah.
I'm not a fan of Bob and Tom, mainly because of the, you know, just the constant laughing at your own jokes thing and, you know, two wild and crazy guys. And it's just,
they have a laugh tracks.
Yeah, it gets a little annoying after the first, you know 3 hours straight of it.
Honestly, and just like with Howard in the 90s, I never heard Bob and Tom because I'm on the air at the same time.
Right.
And I didn't listen to those stations, but, you know, you got to, you know, they've done it. You know, but so has Larry the Cable Guy,
right.
You know, and he's probably on that show a lot.
You have a radio show?
I don't know. No. But I'm just saying he's probably like of that ilk. You know, there's people that shop at Walmart that listen to Bob and Tom that love Larry the Cable Guy. You know, I'm a little more complex of a person than that. Right. I'm not saying I'm like sophisticated or anything, but I'm just like, you know, I'm just not redneck appeal or whatever that is. I don't know Bob and Tom, but I heard about the laugh tracks. It's all comedy skits where they're laughing over it. And some of them are some of the laughing is them pressing a button so they don't have to laugh live.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, they have laugh tracks like a syndicate.
Yeah.
Like a, what do they call that? A sitcom. Yeah. Right.
Which is like the most annoying thing about it.
Yeah. That wasn't that funny. And then the whole crowd's laughing. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. It's exhausting. But you know what? I mean, those guys are enormously successful. I can't rip them.
Right.
But, you know, you beat them by being local. You know, they can't be local because they're worrying about all these different markets.
Sure.
And I met one of the guys, Tom Griswold, at one of these radio conventions last. Yeah. And, you know, he was nice as can be. I don't know if he follows his numbers here in Traverse City, Petoskey, but they are from here. So I said, I'm in your original market in Petoskey and Traverse City. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, my brother lives at Boyne Mountain. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I go up there quite a bit, you know, and... It was just a quick hello, but he was nice.
Yeah.
He's got an incredible voice. Mm-hmm. One of the guys has retired, but they kept the name.
Oh, really?
Bob and Tom. Bob retired, the guy that wears the Los Angeles Dodgers hat.
Okay.
He's no longer, but he wanted them to keep the name. Otherwise, it'd just be Tom.
The Tom Show.
But, you know, just like Howard Stern, I never heard Howard Stern until he was on Sirius because they replay his show all day.
Right. Well, I used to listen to him when he was on.
And he became quite an interviewer. Like, I love his interviews.
It's the best because you see the human side of celebrities, you know, where they're dropping F-bombs and being themselves. And,
yeah.
And then the questions that he asks.
The questions are great. And the length of, you know, like, they warm up to him, you know, even if they're a little, you know, because it's very, he's got a way of getting them to relax and to be forthcoming and.
I was just listening
very
to
very one-on-one, and the length of the interview is like,
two
you know,
hours
if
something.
You could have stop every 7 minutes and then reset and go to commercials, you ruin your flow.
Yeah.
But he's able to do an hour straight and do an hour and 15, and that's kind of like a podcast sort of format where you could have an extended, you know, don't worry about nothing. Yeah. Don't worry about the audience. You don't worry about the advertisers. You don't worry about the clock. You don't worry about nothing, which is, you know, pretty nice.
Yeah, it is.
I like the energy of being live on the radio. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't like to tape a lot of things, like, you know, pre-taped stuff. We never hardly did it ever. Yeah. But some DJs are not only are they taped 100% of the time that you hear them on the radio, but they may not even be from the town that you're broadcasting in.
Right.
You know, there could be a guy in Houston that's voice tracking, that's what they call it, a station up here and 7 to midnight. Mm-hmm. And until you go to their Facebook page and really dig, like, there is no local references, there is no local pictures of them, you know.
As far as taped bits, though, one of my all-time favorite things is the phony phone calls that they do on Howard's show.
Richard and Sal. They are awesome.
Call people up and start yanking their chain. And then...
Imagine that job. They've got a budget where they just make phony phone calls. They sit in a room and they just screw with people. Yeah. That is awesome.
It is very funny.
We used to have Sideshow Nate, and his job was just to, you know, provide us with wacky audio. You know, that's an awesome, awesome job.
Sure.
And for a while, we were able to have him full time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, things change. Mm-hmm. Management changes, budgets change, sales changes, ownership. Income changes. You know, you got that's part of the beauty too, is, you know, all the changes. You know, I look back fondly and all the people that I've worked with, you know, I have no animosity, even though some of them may not like me or whatever, or how it ended. Or, I don't look back, first of all. Second of all, why harbor any resentment if things ended bad? All right.
Yeah.
But you kind of remember the good times a little more than like how it all ended. It's like, man, those were great days. So those were great bits.
Is the KLT job what brought you to Michigan in the first place?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. 100% is why I'm here, is because of that job on KLT. I answered a blind ad. I didn't know where it was from. You know, some ads in the industry, we'll just say, looking for a morning show on a classic rock station, you know, send us your stuff. And then you, just because it's email and you can just send stuff to, doesn't cost anything. It's not like you got to mail a package and go down to the post office like you used to have to do. And when I was making my demo tape at a audio video department in Kmart, you know, I used to use their dual cassette recorder and actually make my demo standing in the aisles of a Kmart because I didn't have access to a studio because they burned bridges. And now you just send them an email.
Sure.
So it's like, answer a blind ad. Okay, rock station, morning show, boom.
Yeah.
And then I started getting calls from this guy from Michigan. And he's like, hey, I'm with WKLT in Traverse City, Michigan. I'm like, Traverse, what? Wow, I heard of Detroit.
Right.
I heard of Grand Rapids, even Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
But I never heard of Traverse City. And I was like, "Ooh, that's." And I looked at a map. I'm like, "That's all the way up north, probably in the middle of the woods."
Now, how did you get involved with Finster?
Well, they first initially hooked me up with a girl to work with. They hired a girl from Memphis.
Okay.
Her name was Charlie. And, you know, just like putting two random people together, it doesn't always work. Right. It didn't work. And but she was a nice person. You know, she was, again, I don't know how, she probably hates me. I didn't know. Listen, it didn't work out. Yeah. They wanted to keep me. They get rid of you. I've been in the situation where they got rid of me and they kept the other person.
Sure.
It's just, you know, you don't take it personally. You know, it just... I was right for the station, and you weren't, and we don't get along. And with the, you know, she went on to go to San Francisco. Like, I was genuinely happy for her because she actually bounced up.
Right.
You know, and that's the best.
Yeah. Sometimes that's
she went to Las Vegas, and then she went to San Francisco. Had a wonderful. How long has it been since then? Like almost 10 years.
Well, see, I'd like to hear some of that tape because I didn't start listening to you guys till I moved back to Northern Michigan in 2010. And I think
it was a mess. Yeah. And see, I wanted, after the radio show, I wanted to work all day together. Like, we got to work on the show. And she was like,
what?
What? She's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, no, you're going to come over to my house. We're going to work all day on this. What are we doing tomorrow? Like, what is on your agenda for tomorrow? How can you go home? How can you go to a hair appointment? Like the, and, you know, and then she was also, she liked to socialize and go on dates with guys. And I'm like, I'm at home writing.
Right.
I don't know what you're doing. We're just launching the show. I don't know how you could, you know, so it was one of those things.
Show's getting in the way of her personal life.
Right. And, but anyway, you know, Charlie, so when Charlie didn't work out, she put in her 2 weeks and she, you know, we wished her well and blah, blah, blah. I still run into her at conventions that I go to. It's a small world.
Yeah.
So Finster, you know, the boss is like, what are we going to do now? And I'm like, I know somebody that I used to work with in Danbury, Connecticut. He's still there, or he's not working right now. And I think he would move here. If we gave him a call, he'll come up.
Okay.
And so I thought of him right away because he worked at a radio station that I worked with. Right. And one of the rules on that radio station, I'm sorry if people heard this story before or heard many of these before. It's him. I just like repeat myself over the years. The rule at the radio station, I-95, WRKI in Danbury, Connecticut, the home of rock and roll.
Nice.
There's a bunch of homes.
Yeah. Everybody's a home.
Everybody's the home of rock and roll. I'm like, what are the... I said, rock and roll's got so many homes. I wonder what the annual property taxes are. Stupid. Anyway, so the rule at the radio station was Omelette and Finster are not allowed on the air together. Two loose cannons.
Oh, right.
I was on the morning show with an older guy named Ethan.
Okay.
Ethan wanted to play a lot of records, and he was like, you can make topics, you can do phone calls. I'm not gonna put a lot of effort into that. I'm retired. I'm just here, you know, I don't want to do a lot of work, but if you want to go ahead. And so it was great in that way, but after a while, after like 4 years, you're like sick of being in a partnership like that. Like I wanted somebody to work with.
There's no chemistry there.
But Finster was the production director and also worked at night. He worked a taped show from 10 to midnight, but every once in a while, so he would come in for regular office hours. So I was still on the air when he came in. So he was like the one with the sense of humor.
Right.
And like, I wanted Finster instead of Ethan on the air with me, but they wouldn't let it because we're too loose
too
cannons. Oh, yeah. Finster and I were not allowed on the air together because I used to always try to bring him into the studio in the morning, you know? Like, he got it. He knew. Like, he wanted to make characters and do voices and, you know, shake it up. And so that's where we're on the same page. So when it came that I left that station and I went to Springfield, Massachusetts, then I went to Fort Myers, Florida for 6 months. I call them cups of coffee. I went for a cup of coffee in Springfield and another cup of coffee in Fort Myers. And then I was unemployed, and then I got the job in Traverse City.
Mm-hmm.
And then... you know, things didn't work out with Charlie. So these things, you know, it's wild how it happens. And then I called Finster, and he was on his way.
Right.
And then, you know, we had a great run.
Right.
And that's it, you know.
What caused you guys to part ways?
The station was not, the boss was not a big, the opinion of the general manager is you know, not always something that's going to be justified or whatever, or people's attitude. I think he felt that Finster was becoming more of a liability than, you know, there was some legal trouble. Promotion trouble. There might have been some ego trouble.
Okay.
Snapping fingers at the boss to get him bring him another beer. You know, like small things, but right, large things too. Okay. And there could have been. So publicly, the boss decided it was a good idea to just say it was budget cuts, which, you know, at the end of the day, they never paid somebody what they were paying him to replace him. So it was budget cuts. But so we ended up hiring people to replace him in minimum wage. Rick Coates was already our producer, so he became the co-host, but we had a co-host search. But listen, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, and Finster bounced back. You know, he got married and he has stepkids and he had to stay in Michigan because of his wife. You know, he couldn't just go take a job. So he took the job on the, you know, the station that plays whatever.
You know, that surprises me that they only pay them minimum wage when they first come in. I mean, I hear that a lot. I've talked to a lot of radio guys over there and they all say you never want to get in this business because it doesn't pay.
But, well, you know, I mean, you got to put in your time at first. And then if you're good enough and you command an audience, then you could then you're going to get paid.
Right.
If, you know, and you got to make sure it's because of you that the show is successful, you know, and it sounds like an ego thing, but you want them to be listening for you, not because you played 15 records in an hour, you know, because I'm not saying anybody could play a bunch of records and, you know, it's not on you why they're listening or not listening. You know, you want to make sure it's because of you. It's like, well, you know, if you just have a DJ that you pay minimally and play a lot of records and that's successful, good for you. But I could probably blow this thing up and would have big ratings.
Right.
But, you know, the station at some point stopped subscribing to the ratings. And I was like, that's the thing I do.
Right.
You know, I love ratings. Right. I love
that's what it's all
ratings
about.
Have always been good for me. Yeah. And, you know, I live for the ratings. And then if they get rid of the ratings, you know, because they got to pay a big amount of money for ratings. Yeah.
Really?
To be surveyed. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
I never knew that.
In this city, I think it's like $35,000 a station a year.
Wow.
Yeah. Which I don't know, you know, I don't know if it's worth it, but you know, you have to, and if you're a three station cluster, that could be $100,000 a year.
Right.
You know, and then,
otherwise
and
you
then,
don't know what your ratings are then?
Right. You get embargoed. There's some embargo. I'm, you know, that I love ratings.
Right.
Cause I've always been good at them or, you know, I've been successful. And,
can you see how many people listen to this on your podcast?
Yeah.
What kind of audience are you getting?
Well, I've been at it for 3 months and we've already had about 20,000 20,000 downloads.
Okay.
So, you know, you figure 3 months,
it's not bad.
20,000 listens and, you know, they only get larger.
Right.
Like, You put out an episode and maybe 300 or 400 people listen to it on the first day, and then it just grows. Like then it's 50 people a day for the next 3 weeks, and it just grows. You know, like people will listen to this, no doubt, in 3 months for the first time.
Sure,
and you know the numbers grow. There's never been a day, even when I haven't put one out in a week.
Right.
Like yesterday, there was 150 downloads of. Mm-hmm. I don't know what episodes they were listening to,
so
but I know
what,
the number.
Okay.
So I haven't put one out. You know, yesterday 150 people listened to the podcast. I don't know what episode. I don't know if it was the last one. If
trying
they're
to get their
up.
Omelet fix.
I don't know what they're doing, but I love it. Yeah. I love the format. I like the technology of it. I like that it delivers to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, when a revolution of technology happens like this. You know, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that I met Mike Dell, he's the podcasting guru, who lives right here in Traverse City. I found a podcast that taught you about podcasting, like how to do it, what equipment to buy, you need a media server, this is a website to go to. And the guy was, not to rip on Mike Dell because he's an awesome guy, but it was kind of like, you know, a geeky, He loves to be called a geek, but you know, it was like kind of a very geeky presentation. You know, he talked kind of mellow. Right. He was no frills, you know, not a lot of, you know, wild personality or anything.
Sure.
And they'll be the first to admit, but I was so listening, you know, like I wouldn't even play it for my wife because she'd be like, what are you listening to? What are you doing? You know, and I'm like, I'm geeking out. I'm learning about podcasting and this guy's telling me exactly how to do it. And there's many different episodes and he would talk for a half hour at a time about all these things and all this, you know, geek speak. And I'm listening to it and I'm listening. And then all of a sudden he starts making Northern Michigan references. I thought this guy was in California somewhere halfway around the world. He's in Traverse City.
Huh.
Traverse City. I'm trying to start a podcast and he's in Traverse City. One day I'm listening on, you know, and I still listen to my phone under my pillow at night, you know, when I can't sleep because I'm all amped up. I sprang out of bed and emailed him at 4 a.m. Like, I can't believe you're in Traverse City. I got to take you out for lunch. So we met for lunch and the rest is history. Got he was over here. Up. And he was over here behind my board here, wiring things in, helping me.
Awesome.
He's awesome, man. His website is I'll forever. There's people that you meet in your career and in your life that you'll never forget because they helped you in some way or they took time or, you know, they did. I've spoken about influences and people that have been nice to me or took time or just, you know, people that I really admired. And then I ended up reaching out to them and they were really nice. And then I became friends with them and stuff. Like this guy, Sebastian, you ended up listening to Sebastian. You didn't like
him.
I
wasn't really care.
But, you know, it's the personality rang, you know, I think he's the best.
And that's where you're from too. So
Yeah. And, you know, he's been at it for 40 years. Right. And then I reach out to him and he's like, send me your tape, I'll critique. And then he was like on the phone, he called me on Sunday morning, I listened to your tape, we gotta talk, call me back, it's critique time. Right. And I'm like, you know, what if you're a big John McEnroe fan,
right,
and then you play tennis, you aspire to play tennis,
and
all of a sudden
give you some lessons.
Then John McEnroe's over your house showing you how to serve. You know, it's mind-blowing. So anyways, there's people. Mike Dell's one of the people that helped me. You know, awesome guy. MikeDell.com, by the way. And that podcast is called Podcast Help Desk.
Right.
And the website, he's got a million websites. They all link through MikeDell.com. Right. And he's right here in Traverse City. I've hooked other people up with him and the podcast that weren't interested in podcasting.
What do you think about doing your everyday morning show as a daily podcast?
I thought about, actually technology like that Mike Dell told me about that I can go live and people can listen on their phones.
Right.
That's what Sebastian does.
Okay.
He's live, internet only in the morning, and people are listening on their phones and stuff, and it's just like a radio show, but you have no, you know, there's no tower cost, you know, it's not a frequency.
He still gets advertisers and stuff and plays commercials.
Yep, he's got salespeople.
Okay.
I don't want to be floundering on the air. You know, I don't want it to be bad. And I think that just by myself doing it live every day would take an enormous amount of resources on my, and I've got to find a job.
Right.
You know, I've got some awesome irons in the fire right now.
Right.
And I know I say this all the time, but there could be something happening very, very soon.
Cool.
And I'm very excited about it. But, you know, but there's been things that I've been excited about in the last 6 months that haven't panned out. But you know, I'm not going to say too much. What was I going to say? Irons in the fire.
Yeah. We were talking about podcasts and
everything. Podcasts. Yeah, I mean, it's just to do it right, to do it to the level that I want to do it. I don't want to do stuff that it's like, man, this kind of sucks. I want to be with other people.
You got to have a crew.
I don't want to just stand here and talk for 3 hours for the sake of talking and not having a plan, having it be good.
Right.
I don't want the audience to hear, like, you know, oh, man, he's doing this daily show and it really sucks. You know, I'd rather do it once a week, or if I don't have anything to say. I mean, when you're not hearing me on the podcast, I am working hard in my office here every day, about 16 hours a day. Making relationships, making my demo better. You know, that's why I took up the hobby to make that video with Copperstar, because I needed to get out of here.
Right.
But still, that kind of in some way kind of fits in here. You know, put out a video, make a video, get myself away from job, demo tape, opportunities. You know, there's like, I could go to Tucson if I want. I could maybe go to Jersey. You know, I could be in New Jersey on the shore. There was a job. I was hoping to get it. But your wife's from Traverse City, Wilmington, though, right? North Carolina. She's from Detroit.
Detroit, okay.
I've been trying to get involved in Detroit radio, Boston. It's not a lot happening in the format that I would work best on. So that's been frustrating. But so I've been entertaining the idea of, well, maybe I don't need to Detroit or Boston. So I was looking at some other places. And then when somebody offers you a job or, like, makes you an offer, it's like, man, I appreciate it, but I'm not going to Tucson,
it's a big
Arizona.
Move.
Yeah. I'm trying to go the other way. I'm trying to go east, but I'm not trying to really go anywhere. I'm trying to stay here.
Right.
So that's basically the deal why I don't do a daily live podcast. See, Sebastian does that, but he's got a co-host. He's got a producer. He's got salespeople.
Right.
He's got an owner. He's got an investor. You know, I mean, he's got a three-person morning show, but it's internet only.
Right.
He's in a bigger market. You know, I don't want to be sitting here by myself and knocking myself out for something that is not of the level that I want it to be.
I think at a minimum, you got to have three people on a show.
If it was me, if it was like, you know, if somebody like Rick Coates, and I'm not putting any pressure on him, if he wanted to do it with me, and there was somebody else that wanted to, like, you know, sell for it, I would be very interested in something like that. But, you know, Rick is very busy.
Right.
You know, he's a journalist. He's a print media person. He's doing social media for a lot of people. And I don't mean to single him out, but if it was people that was like, hey, I want to commit to that, you know, when you're a one-man band, and really, I should be finding a job, like not playing on the, you know, let me try to create a radio station. But I would do it if other people were committed to it. You know, I would take a chance and that would allow me to stay here. But, you know, people are busy, man.
Is there anybody out there that's doing like a subscription podcast and that's how they make their money?
Yes, yes. There are people that do that. Artie Lang from the Howard Stern. I think it's $5 a month or something like that, which is half the price of Sirius. You get 140 channels.
Right.
But if you want to support Artie, did he get arrested again?
I didn't hear about it.
Somebody, you know, you don't know how old these stories are.
Right.
But I read yesterday on Facebook, or somebody sent me a link, that Artie was arrested again with the drugs.
Oh, yeah.
The guy can't stay away from the drugs. But he was busted before, after his
rehab
suicide and rehab and all that. Yeah. So I don't know if it's again or if it's that same story or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about that.
Fake news.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dave, tell me why. I've been doing a lot of talking on this podcast, but I'd do that anyway. Why are people unfriending you? You get unfriended a lot on Facebook. Why is that?
A lot of times it's political views. Recently there was a friend.
Because you're conservative.
For the most part.
Right.
About the only thing I would say I'm liberal on is the environment. You know, I do believe in the, you know, the climate change and all that stuff, because I've sat here and watched it happen my whole life.
Me too.
It's real. You know?
Me too. I'm.
Yeah.
But is it climate change that's man, that's influenced by man, or is it just the circle of life?
I think it's the overpopulation of the planet.
Right.
There's just too many.
Yep. Too much pollution. China is a big offender. Yeah.
This globe can only sustain so many humans, and we're going to reach a saturation point where there's too many people for the planet to
sustain. Nobody talks about that.
Yeah, but it's going to happen. You know, I think it's less than 50 years away.
Bill Burr, the comedian, talks about that all the time. We got so many damn people here.
Way too many.
People need to wrap it.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Less people. I didn't feel like the world needed three kids from me.
Right.
You know? It's the last thing they need.
Three omelets running around. Yeah, that would be crazy.
That would be a horror show.
Yeah, well, I recently got unfriended by someone. I won't mention any names, but they're going to college. And he just started. And he's posting on Facebook that he's doing shots before he goes to class. And I'm like,
how old is this person?
He's a grown man.
I mean, he's his 30s. 40s?
Yeah, I think he's his 30s, maybe early 40s.
Oh, God.
And I just made the comment that, you know, in 35 years of working, I have never done shots before work or before school. I just don't think it's a good idea. You know?
Does he think he is Rodney Dangerfield back to school?
I don't know.
Hey, everybody, we're going to get laid.
He got mad and unfriended me.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
And people do it because of political views.
Sometimes, like, I mean, you get into a shouting match or whatever, and I'm talking about a particular topic. And yesterday, somebody put a meme up, and it was somebody giving the finger, and it said F Trump and F you for voting for him. That was the picture.
Really?
Yeah. And then there was
Why do people get so aggressive like that?
It's right on the back window. You know, those like those white picture type things that you put on your back window. Yeah, but it was huge. Yeah. Took up the whole back window.
Got it.
And, you know, 150 posts after that of people just going back and forth, back and forth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, look, I've never unfriended somebody. People say an opinion. I'm not easily offended. Right. I don't think you can offend me. Right. I mean, I'll be like, ooh, that person, you know, like, I suppose I know how to unfriend. Well, I've unfollowed somebody before because I'm just sick of seeing the same stuff.
Yeah. There are a lot of one-trick ponies out there.
I'm friends with people, 90% of the people I'm friends with, I don't know who they are.
Right.
Because of the radio shows. Yeah. And so I don't, you know, I have no connection with somebody. I've never met most of them.
Right.
So people say weird things. I'm like, I just kind of like shrug my shoulders like, that must be their world, you know.
Well, I purposely don't friend people that I work with. Because I like to have a clear separation of my personal life and my professional.
Do they ask you?
Mm.
They send friend requests?
I don't think I've received any. So.
Okay,
maybe because they don't like me. I don't know.
Good, good. Right. They don't want to be your friend. No, maybe they. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
If you work in the because
I may say some things on
sector.
There, some off-color things or something that I don't really consider. You know, work material. Type
yeah.
of thing, you know,
yeah.
So a clear separation between your personal and your professional life.
What is a post that you have made that has gotten some bad backlash?
Terry Ray unfriended me because I had a picture of Obama getting the finger. She didn't like that.
Yeah, I guess she doesn't, you know. That's okay. Yeah. I even if it was not my guy,
right.
I would think that's okay.
Yeah. I thought it was funny.
You know what I don't like? Is surrounding myself with the same
like-minded people. Yeah, right.
I want to see different opinions.
Sure.
I want to hear different things. You know, like the radio show, when we did a topic, I didn't necessarily, if somebody disagrees with me, they're getting on first.
Right.
You know, I didn't want people saying, you're right, Amma, you're right. That's boring.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted people to, you know, I told the phone screener, if somebody calls in, and especially if it's a woman, I want, you know, if she's mad at me.
Get them on.
Get them right on. I'll go right to her.
Right.
You know, because I'm saying something, obviously trying to get a rise out of people. You know, I'm trying to. I don't know if it's called entertainment, but I'm trying to have some sort of colorful exchange.
So much better than people just calling in one after the other. Oh man, you're the greatest thing ever.
That.
We love you.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a rule, no compliments.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that, especially me. Anyway, Dave Ravain is an interesting character, man. This guy's opinionated. He's outspoken. He doesn't care.
Nope.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, do you find some fun out of, you know, giving opinions and things like that?
Yeah.
If somebody said to your candidate, like with a middle finger towards your candidate,
towards Trump,
would you feel that's a personal attack? Would you unfriend somebody?
I'll be honest with you. I voted for Trump, but I'm not a huge fan of the way he goes about his business. You know, a perfect example is... don't accuse somebody of wiretapping until you actually have the proof, because otherwise you look like an idiot.
Listen, I am an objective person. I'm able to stand outside and look. And most of the things that he does, it's like, that's what we signed up for.
Right.
The wiretapping I thought was freaking crazy.
Now, he did it.
But I was also like, let's see the evidence. He must have some evidence, and the evidence doesn't seem to be coming.
Right.
I think he should maybe back off of the Twitter a little bit.
Yeah. It seems kind of immature.
You know, but I like when he gave the state of the, he spoke to Congress.
Yeah, that was good.
I thought that was an awesome speech. But I'm able to say good job, bad job on different things. I'm not a shill one way or another.
Right.
I'm not against him. You know, because I have some kind of, you know, I think there's good things that he does and there's some bad things. And I'm able to take those individually.
Compartmentalize the different things.
But I'm also rooting for him. I want him to do a good job.
Yeah.
I want the country to succeed. I mean, rooting against him would be like rooting against the country. And I'm a pretty patriotic person. I love
no matter who's
country.
In there, you're going to support
I love him. The land of opportunity. Right. I think that some of the, you know, legal immigrants take advantage of this system that we have, and we should be inspired by the way that they work hard and they achieve things and they see it as an opportunity to be here. And they, you know, love this country, and the, I mean, I love that.
Yeah, but they should do it legally. Not,
legally, yeah. That's what I said.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, listen. Whenever I travel, there's accountability where I'm going. I have to show some identification.
Right.
I want people to come here legally. We have a need for people to come here. Temporary workers.
Yeah.
You know, migrant workers. Come on, and get a tax identification number. Pay the taxes like everybody else.
Right.
And
become
have,
a part
you know,
of society.
Pay in, yeah. And there should be everybody should have an opportunity to come to America and and take but you got to have a tax ID number. You got to have a social security card. You got to have some documents.
Right.
You know, but there should be welcome to this country, but pay your share. You got to be a part of the system like everybody else. Yeah. You know, not be a gouging people under the working wage and not paying taxes and not being documented.
Yeah, getting welfare.
That's not cool. Right. And then you have a kid here and then you're anchored to stay, even though you came, But I'm lucky because I was born here. And I don't hold it against somebody that wasn't born here. I don't think they're any less of a person.
No, me neither.
You know, I, but there are borders and we are in a time of people want to kill us around the country. So we got to be, accountability of who's coming and going. That's it. Where's your picture?
Any other country in the world, you can't just walk in there. You know?
That's right.
You can't do it.
When I went to Jamaica or Mexico or Canada, they're asking for my documents.
Where's some ID, man? Who are you?
And I give it to them. Yep. And exactly. I'm polite, and I try to embrace the cultures in which I visit as well. Yep. When I'm in, I'm trying to learn Spanish. How do you say, bathroom, baño? Okay. Then I ask the guy, baño. And then I point over there. In other words, they see that I'm making some effort. Sure. And I also equally don't like when people come here and they refuse to, they've been here for 10 years. They refuse to speak the language.
Right.
They only huddle into their own little communities with their own same, embrace the culture, embrace the country.
Right. I would never move to a foreign country without learning the entire language first, because that would drive me crazy.
I say you got a 2-year window. Yeah. You know, you're either trying or you've done it. You know, like baseball players, they're kind of insulated from the, it's like, dude, Miguel Cabrera, come on, dude. You've been here for 25 years. Can you embrace,
Can you become a little bit American?
But he's getting better, but it's been 25 years.
Right.
But there's certain people, like, remember Fernando Valenzuela for the Dodgers?
Yeah.
He never learned the language. He was there, But if you have that kind of money, I think it's a little different.
Well,
because
you can afford an interpreter.
You can insulate yourself with only people that speak, you don't have to talk to anybody. Your lawyer will talk for you and, give a
Oh, you got to do so fastballs.
Well, Dave, listen, let's wrap up the podcast here. I think we had a great episode.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Chuck Berry. It was great to see everybody down there, Grandma Pierogi and Copper Star and all of our friends, Big Daddy Tie-Dye. I saw Hard Day's Robert, Rick Coates, shout out to you. I hope everything's all right with the family. Thank you to my sponsors, Amazon.com. If you shop online, you help me out by shopping through the website. Click the banner. Doesn't cost you anymore. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to say anything special. They just somehow know I generated that business, even though you're going to go there anyway. Mm-hmm. And also World Truck and Auto Body, the best over there. Jeff and Bob, crash your car and go get your body work done. Make it looking good for summertime. And please tell them that you heard about it on the podcast, because they sponsor us, and if you like what I'm doing, then you like what they're doing, and it's a big happy family. You know, if you have a need where you need auto body work, go to World Truck and Auto Body and say, hey, I listen to the podcast. This is the only podcast that they sponsor, and they're personal friends of mine.
Okay.
They will give you possibly a free boat ride in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
They have boats on the bay, awesome boats. They do the work themselves. They restore anything, All right, so Dave Vervain, good to have you on, man. We talked a lot about a bunch of stuff. Next time we'll have Rick Coates, because you were going to interview Rick Coates and I.
Right.
And I hope everything's well with Rick. Rick is always invited. He's got an open door over here always. And thanks for listening to another podcast, everyone. Go Spartans.
Go Spartans.
And let's end with a little more Chuck Berry, eh?
Sounds good.